Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in.
Hello, sacred beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lynn, and this is part two of the trigger episodes. If you haven't already listened to part one, it was two episodes ago, 613, and in that episode, we went into what is a trigger, how do they show up in my life, not me personally, but how can we gain awareness over how they show up in our lives, how can we utilize them as catalysts for our own expansion and personal transformation, and what a gift triggers are, really, to the curious truth seeker who really aims to spearhead their life, to grow and expand, to the being who wants to become aware of who they are and come into a state of deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper alignment with themselves. It's a really powerful episode. I also shared some personal experiences with some triggers that I have moved through, been transforming in my life. And the two topics I was talking about in that episode are body dysmorphia and sexual empowerment. Two hot topics for ladies far and wide. And honestly, anyone, most people, with the generation of parents that a lot of us were born into. So what are we talking about today? I don't even know where this episode is going to take us today. In the last 2 weeks since that episode was recorded and published, I have learned so much. So much has been swirling in my own inner world, and I've been moving through a lot of really deep healing myself, really deep shadow work. And this is actually something that I want to state here at the top of this episode. When we're paying attention to what our triggers are and why our triggers exist, it's actually an avenue and a very easeful portal to step into shadow work. Because when we're gaining awareness over our triggers from a vantage point that aims to do something about it and work with them, transmute or alchemize those energies so that we can in turn become like more whole versions of ourselves. Not saying that we're not whole whenever we have triggers, but we're not in a state of light and state of deep love, right? For a lot of us, we are consciously approaching our days from a space that says, I aim to be more aligned with love. I aim to be more aligned with my soul's purpose, with my mission. I want to know how big life can get. I want to know what I'm able to experience, accomplish, and like live and lead of myself here in this human existence. So naturally, we're going to, on that path, discover shadowy aspects of ourselves that maybe we knew were there, maybe we didn't know were there, but either way, this episode, I suppose, is going to speak directly to the being that I just mentioned, the being that I associate myself as a matter of fact. So I'm going to share a couple more personal stories in this episode, but first, I'd love to focus a little bit more on what it was that I was just talking about. To be really blunt and honest, you likely trigger people right now, just so you know. I know that in this episode series, I've been talking a lot about our triggers, like you as an individual listening to this episode right now. What are your triggers? How can your triggers be catalysts for a deeper expansion? But another side of the coin that I think is equally as fascinating to look at and contemplate is how we trigger other people too. And do we hold any resistance over the fact that we know that we trigger other people? I have to say, the majority of the shadow work that I've been moving through the last couple weeks has directly to do with the fact that I have had this program, this subconscious program circulating inside of me for years now, that has wanted to play it safe in such a way that I make sure that I'm not triggering anybody. I was running this program, and inside the program said, don't be too big. Don't live too big, Brett. You're going to trigger other people. What if they misunderstand you? What if they don't like what they see? What if they perceive what you're doing incorrectly? What if they judge you? What if they don't like you? And I didn't realize what a restrictive and suffocating hold that this program had over my livelihood until just recently. It's like I could feel that I was feeling restricted and constrained, but I didn't know what was beyond that, and I didn't have the courage to expand beyond that just yet. And I guess I'm going to kind of head into a personal share right now, but the beautiful way that the universe works is when you are stemming from a really embodied state that is setting intention and communicating with Great Spirit, God, the universe, higher power, whatever that creative force is in your life. For myself, generally, I refer to that creative force as the Great Spirit. And the way that Great Spirit shows itself in your life is by bringing you into a state where you experience your fear face to face. And there's no avoiding it. And you're faced with this mirror that says, you know that deep fear that you have? Here it is. And they stand the person or the phrase or the gossip or the judgment right in front of your face. And in that moment, generally, these are very illuminating moments to us. How do we respond? How do we react? And I will tell you, something like this just happened to me 2 weeks ago. It was told to me through the grapevine that these perceptions were had over me or about me by someone that I consider to be in my inner circle. And it shocked me. It literally felt like an electric volt, shocking the suffocation that I had been encasing myself in. I felt so out of control. I felt so helpless because I couldn't control what the person's perception of me was, and the fact that I thought and I felt that they completely misunderstood me. And it's really through sitting in these, like, I'm still integrating all of this shadow work right now, but there was this really deep peace, this portal of freedom that I was able to just like effortlessly allow myself to pass through as I was sitting with that incorrect perception or judgment that had come in about me. And I was like, oh, okay. So if I'm living my most aligned life and radiating the expression, that I feel is most true to my being. I'm going to have impact over people in ways that I can't even perceive yet. And yes, some of that might be judged. And yes, some of that might be misconstrued. It might be misunderstood. It might be really triggering to other people. And what am I going to do about that? Do I keep myself held hostage in hopes that my energy's not big enough to disrupt anyone around me? Absolutely not. That is like a martyrdom of the self that like I allow myself to live small for the sake of others, for the sake of their comfort, to not make them uncomfortable. And that is so out of alignment with the purity and the truth of each and every one of us. We're not here to play small. I mean, maybe some of you, if you're listening to this right now, even though I don't think probably we're attracting that type of audience, we're attracting people that are really into expansion. But for heaven's sakes, there's seasons where we just want to coast for a while. And that is a part of the growth process as well. Not constantly needing change, needing transformation, needing expansion, needing growth. You know, it's like the hike up the mountain. Hike, 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 hike. We're traversing. We're having to really watch our footing. We're having to use our strength. We're having to press ourselves up, mantle up on boulders. And then we get to a plateau. And we're walking the plateau, the flat land, and we're like, ah, so grateful just to be walking on flat land. It doesn't have to be this harrowing endurance process all the time. So anyway, what I was saying is that's not what we're here for. We are here to know ourselves, to grow ourselves, and to express ourselves in the most true and vibrant expression that we feel called to. So yeah, the last couple weeks has been really looking myself in the mirror and getting super raw and truthful and real with myself, saying, yeah, some people are going to look at your company that you're growing, your self-aligned, deepening of self-relationship business, and they're going to think it's the most conceited thing in the world. They're going to think it's the most annoying, disrespectful, selfish, self-centered, self-serving in the negative way. They're going to think all those things. They're going to think you're the worst. But you are a plague to humanity. But do I give their words meaning? Do I let them penetrate my being? Do I let them keep me small? No, the foundation in what I do is because I just so happen to think that a lot of the world's ailments, illness, sadness, grief, and anger is able to experience radical transformation and healing as a result of us getting closer to ourselves, spending more time with ourselves instead of constantly looking outside of ourselves for other people to serve. Because I know that when I'm in right relationship with myself, serving others at the highest caliber that I'm able is so effortless. What I'm noticing through this process is that I'm allowing myself to grow bigger, and I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'm going to trigger others. And also, triggers are a gift. That's exactly what we were talking about in the last episode. So in my mind, when I pray, right before I make a big scary decision, or I go and facilitate a workshop, or I give a talk, or I, you know, do some big thing. Just recently, I was featured on Shoshana Raven's podcast. A couple days ago, I did this beautiful 5-minute pitch to some tech investors to have Sidestepping Social to Sink into Self, my 7-day guided challenge off of social media. I did a 5-minute pitch to these tech investors to have them invest in Sidestepping Social and build it into an application. That was a huge growth edge for me, a huge communication and expression edge for me to really stand behind my product, sidestepping social, and really share the impact that it's had on people's lives thus far and how I see it reaching tens of thousands of people and helping them in this day and age of social media addiction, how important it is, and how I guide that process. Like, it's a big freaking deal to stand behind who you are and to really have confidence in who you are. So just understand that, yeah, if you fear having that kind of confidence because of how other people might see you, that's just another alchemy process that wants to happen inside of you. And it will happen if you follow it, if you allow it, if you listen to it. It will guide you into a bigger space inside of yourself. I am so grateful for these experiences where I'm met with my fears head on and I really get to face them, because every single time it's like, it feels like trust falling off of a cliff. And it's like, I'm that feeling of restriction and being held hostage. It's like being at the edge of the cliff and I don't want to let go. I don't want to run off the edge. I don't want to trust that I can fly like God is telling me. And then I do. Or I lose my footing, or my fingers get tired and I can't hold on anymore. And I really don't want to let go, but I'm like, I don't have a choice in the matter. It feels out of my control. And I find myself free falling. And then I find myself turning over midair, and I remember that I have wings and I can fly. And I'm not going to meet my demise, because that's not what I'm here for. And I'm always going to be given new tools and new organs, new aspects of myself that I didn't know were there, that I didn't trust to grow in that moment when it matters the most, which is in that trust fall, when I surrender and I remind myself, oh, I'm a holy piece of work. I am here to do holy work, because we are in a time where this is so imperative, and it really grounds me into deeper connection with my why, with what I'm doing here. It helps me zoom out when the microcosmic figure is so zoomed into my like human experience and how scared I am and how much I don't want them to misunderstand me and this, that, and the other thing. It's like that microcosmic first person reality. And the trust fall helps me zoom out so much, and it helps me see the grander, bigger picture of why I'm placed on this earth and the work that I'm here to do and the ways that I am here to help guide others. It blows my mind. It blows my mind looking at the clients that I'm working with in my one-on-one container, The Wild Within, and witnessing how they are literally transforming their lives every single session that we get together. Every single vibrant mission, my little pieces of homework that I give them in between sessions, witnessing how they show up more vibrant every single session as a result of completing these vibrant missions in their own time. It is the most miraculous thing. Oh, it is such a reciprocal process. The more that I allow life force and God energy to come into me, the more deeply I can guide my own process, my own first-person life process, and the processes of the clients that are coming to me, the more that I can shine a brilliant reflection back at them so that they can see how powerful they are, so that they can see that they're the co-creators of their reality. And I'm there as a loving, devotional nudge to them that says, yes, you can do this. And I'm here walking with you every step of the way. It is my favorite thing. Oh, it is just the best. The best. Every single person alive, every human being alive, each and every one of you listening to this episode right now, my love, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you, you are meant for greatness. You are destined for greatness. You wouldn't be here at Sacred Sister Podcast listening to this episode if you weren't. Do you understand the miracle that it is that you're even listening to this episode right now? Do you know how many podcasts there are? Do you know how many listening formats of audio to enter your little beautiful ears that there are? Hundreds of millions, probably. And yet here you are, episode 615 of Sacred Sister Podcast, listening to an episode on triggers, part 2. Even going from trigger episode 1 to trigger part 2 is like a freaking devotional gesture in itself. Because probably the point, only like the 0.01% of people alive are even down to listen to anything about this topic. Most people have their ears, their fingers over their ears and their eyes clamped shut going la 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 la. I don't have control over anything in my life. Life just happens. Who knows why I'm here? Probably we just die and nothing happens. Probably I'm just here to live a random existence and nothing really matters in life, so who cares? Like, it is so special that you're here. I've been smiling this entire recording. Here we are 20 minutes in and my cheeks hurt so bad. I dare say all of you can hear it in me too, especially if you've been listening to Sacred Sister Podcast. I feel like you can feel this upliftment of energy. You can feel the spaciousness inside of me. Ugh. Okay, so let's keep it going. Okay, so I talked about body dysmorphia and sexual empowerment. And I want to mirror back to you before I get into dance and song. What are your big stories? Like, what are your big triggers? What really sends you into states of reactivity? What really, like, grinds your gears? What sends you into waves of fear and shock and anger and stress and worry? All of these are huge markers on your path that are trying to get your attention, that are trying to teach you something. And I want to say this too, right before I hop into the two personal shares. I just recently opened 3 spots. If you're hearing about my client experience and you're like, oh my God, that sounds like freaking deep transformational magic. Yeah, it is. And the container that I'm talking about is The Wild Within. It's my 3-month one-on-one mentorship. It's a deep ass dive, a deep process for the being that wishes to come to know the self more fully and transform their consciousness. It's guided by 3 animal energies, the spider, snake, and butterfly. Spider, month 1, mapping the web of consciousness. Snake, month 2, shedding skin, expanding big time. Month 3, butterfly, holy crow, what are these new organs? I can fly now. Oh my gosh, it's integration season. I just opened up 3 more seats at a new aligned, elevated price point. For some of you, you might be like, whoa, why is she sharing? She just raised her prices. It's because I can see the impact that I'm making on my clients. As my client impact stories rise and their transformation gets greater and greater and greater and bigger and more freaking life-changing and more life-changing, yeah, the price point's going to go up for sure. I'm honing my mastery in this realm, and it feels so freaking good to stand behind that and be super confident in it. And I want to let you know, I just shared this on my Instagram story today. I was in the bath last night, and I was like sent into this massive portal of magic, and this big booming masculine voice said,
"You are entering a new phase. As your ego has shed and died, you are entering a new phase, a new chapter, a new level of expression."
And I was like, whoa. And all these visuals started flooding in, and this whole process started coming in. And it's a program. It's a 3-day program. And I'm not going to release the title of it yet, but as soon as you hear this, I'm recording it probably on Saturday. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's Saturday, August 13th. This episode is probably going to come out tomorrow. And I want you to go follow me on Instagram if you're not already at Britlyn Rising. If all this energy really has your interest piqued, this is a program on revolutionary reclamation of your personal power. You think this episode's deep? Just wait. This is a 3-day masterclass, and I'm so freaking excited. I'm probably going to launch it within the next 2 weeks. So it's going to come out quick. Wants to come with a fierceness, with a fervor. Okay, so let's move on. You know, some of the deepest wounds that we have are some of the hardest to reckon with. And this has been my process with dance, for sure. I used to dance just like, you know, fun, silly, weird when I was a kid. I never was able to, my parents could never afford to like send me to dance classes, even though I really wanted that. And I started taking dance in 7th grade, I remember. And that was such a horrifying, traumatizing experience for me. This is where like the beginning of my insecurity with movement in my body began, and where movement started to really feel unsafe in my body. And it was because the cheer team and the dance team captains, like the popular girls in school, of course, were in this dance class of mine, and they would make fun of me. And they wouldn't really make fun of a lot of people in class. Really, it was just me. And I was always terrified. I was terrified to do pirouettes from one side of the room to the other, or not pirouettes, but, you know, like just simple turns and stuff. And I remember during all the finals, like they were just laughing at me in the corner. It would totally like throw me off, and I would get so nervous and so insecure. And I would just, you know, obviously I'd have to start over sometimes, and they would like laugh even more. It was just like so awful. But it's so funny because that type of dichotomy really started ingraining my anxious attachment style. And it made me want their approval so badly. It made me crave their validation. It made me crave their friendship. I just wanted them to like me so bad. And I would try to sit next to them at lunch. And, you know, sometimes I'd be sitting at their lunch table because they would invite me. And then, you know, the head girl would like look down the table and be like, "What's she doing here?" You know, it's like those moments in school. I don't know how many people this happened to. I talk to my niece and nephew about it all the time, and they're like, "Oh my God, like, I can't believe school was like that for you." Because it doesn't seem like bullying is nearly as wild. Who knows though? Because my niece is only in 2nd grade, so we'll see when she gets to 7th grade. I hope to God that things have changed by then in terms of consciousness. And just her own confidence, because I think if I had more confidence, things probably would have been different for me. But yeah, this type of insecurity of moving in my own body and that I couldn't do it right and that I was out of time and out of rhythm elevated my, it like spiked my awareness so much, and it just had me so in my head all the time. So any time that there was dancing around me as I was getting older, it was a trigger. It triggered me into a reactive state of fear and of shock and of insecurity. And these types of bullying scenarios went on well into my 20s, because sometimes as a model, excuse me, I would do fashion shows and there's choreography to the fashion shows. And I remember there was a, like a Halloween, like lingerie, you know, like the sexy, I know that all of you know the Halloween costume brand, but I was their tween model for like many years. And I would go, like, they would fly me to the conventions, and you know, I worked really closely with this company for many years. They would always book me as like one of the only tween models. Everybody else, like, I was the same age as, but all of them were like booked as the regular models because I was just so small and I fit all the tween costumes. But yeah, there was this one that we flew out to in Houston, and the choreography was a lot more intense, and I was just so insecure. And the guy who was choreographing all of it, and he's like a pretty famous person now, and he's married to someone who's very, very famous that all of us know, but I'm not going to mention names. Yeah, he would just publicly humiliate me in front of everyone. He would like stop the music and just totally berate me. And it got so bad when I was there in Houston that I like, he was like, we're going to send you home. And like, it was beyond, it was so dramatic. It was so bad. And I like literally ran behind, I ran backstage and I like hid underneath the clothing racks, and I just like curled up in a ball and I was just bawling my eyes out. And all the other models were just staring at me, and like no one was standing up for me. No one was saying anything. I was just so humiliated because I was trying so hard to do the dance number as best as I could, and it like never was good enough. And they didn't wind up sending me home, but it was traumatizing. And all of these types of experiences really deeply affect our energetic makeup. And doesn't it make sense that they do so? We start holding tension patterns in our body. We have these really fierce reactivity triggers that just close us down. They hold us up, and they make it feel so unsafe to do the thing, which is dance, which is such a natural part of all of our makeup ancestry. It is a primal, primal aspect of who we are as humans, to celebrate, to move the body, to move tension through the body, to rejoice, to be in various forms of worship. So it was in the first few years, like, let's start going into the healing piece now. So it was in the first couple years that I went to transformative music festivals where there were a lot of psychedelic uses, like psychedelics were being used regularly. And it was the freakiest time for me. And I feel like that will resonate for a lot of people who have never been to a transformative music festival or who get really freaked out by psychedelics. Anybody who's listening right now who has maybe judgments or perceptions over those types of scenes or those types of festivals, those types of people, quote unquote. But truly, it was at those festivals that I've very, very, very first started to feel tastes of freedom. Freedom from the bonds that I had been keeping myself in. Freedom from, the restrictions. I remember, I will never forget this. And then we'll wrap up this aspect. I was at a Dirtwire set. If you don't know Dirtwire, they're like this freaking, I call them like a hippie hoedown, like indie band. They're so freaking dope. I love Dirtwire so much. And I was at a Dirtwire set and the music was just such a vibe. It was such a dope vibe. It was outside. They were on the main stage and there were hundreds of people there at the show and everybody is just cutting it loose, you know, going crazy inside themselves. A lot of them didn't have shoes on, you know, it's a couple days into the festival. People are just wild. And I remember being so fearful to dance in my body. And I remember this very clear moment. It was like the first time I had done LSD, I want to say, or maybe the second time, like the second day. And I remember looking around at people dancing and wanting that for myself so badly. And there was a whisper in my head that was like, no one's going to be watching you. No one is watching you. No one is watching you. No one's watching you. And I started to let myself move. And as I started to let myself move, I literally closed my eyes, raised my hands into the air, and it was like this vortex of energy began swirling around me. And in my mind, I thought, oh, this is what it's like to be free. This is what it's like to be free. And I witnessed all the bonds and the boundaries and the shackles just falling off of me. And it felt so good. And all of us have places that we keep ourselves bound, and we hold the keys to release ourselves from those shackles through these alchemical processes of energetic work with ourselves. It's my favorite subject of life to talk about. I've had so many of these transformative experiences, and that was just day one of entering a new realm. And now dance is one of the places that I feel most free. And it feels so good. Like anytime people say like, oh, that's just not for me, in my mind, I'm like, what happened to you? Why not? Why isn't it something that you like to do? Would you like to? Is there even a small part of yourself that would like to or thinks that you don't because of something that happened to you in your past when you were shut down? Because it has nothing to do with being good at it or not. Being good at it is such a lame, dualistic, three-dimensional pity party to have for yourself that just makes things that you actually want outside of yourself, and you're the only person who places them outside of yourself. All of us have the ability to reclaim our power, reclaim our vibrancy. Okay, so here we are, 37 minutes. Let's freaking go. So song, I'm going to make this such a shorter piece. Do I even need to talk about song? I'll just mention quickly, it's a very similar type of story where I grew up singing, always was singing in church. I used to sing at my church in the youth group. And then I started for the first time, like really making friends, like true friends in high school whenever I was in theater. I was in theater all 4 years, my senior year of high school. I had like 5 theater classes. I was like in the theater like freaking all day long most days. And lead in my senior musical. Like I was just always singing. We had a musical theater class too, and I just like freaking lived in that class. Like that was my freedom zone. So graduate at 18, start working at Starbucks. Before I graduated, actually, I freaking lived to work at Starbucks, by the way. Like put me on a espresso bar between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. That is my happy place. Getting like having 35 orders lined up and like knowing how many shots I'm gonna pull and just like working. I feel like it's a very manifesting generator type of position. Being at an espresso bar during peak hours at a coffee shop and just loving that type of nonstop flow. I very much excel in that space. So anyways, started dating this guy that worked at Starbucks with me, and we stayed together for 4.5 years. And early on in our relationship, I would go to his house and he had a piano, and I would sit down and start playing piano and singing. And I remember he would come into the room and be like, "Stop singing. I don't want to hear you sing." And I'd be like, "Why?" He'd be like, "Cause I don't want to hear you." I'd be like, "Fine." And then I remember, you know, sometimes singing in the car with him, and he had a nice voice. And I remember him just telling me, like, you know, it's not that special when girls can sing. Like most girls can sing. It's really, really special when a guy can sing. And over time, him telling me things like that, combined with him telling me to stop singing all the time, just totally killed my confidence. And I literally stopped singing for 7 years. I did not sing, even by myself in my own car. I stopped singing. And song was like my first love in life. So in 2017, when I really started reclaiming myself, and I found myself at Spirit Weavers for the first time, a spiritual women's gathering in South Oregon, I went to a Freeing Your Voice workshop. And it was there that, like, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I stopped singing and it wasn't because of me. And I miss singing and I want to come back to singing." And now it's been 5 years of really reclaiming my voice. And now I lead song workshops, throat chakra activation workshops, song circles. I've been producing and creating my own music for 4 years now. Haven't released any of it publicly, but it is coming. That's been another growth edge. But yeah, oh my gosh, my loves. It is just so powerful whenever we really acknowledge ourselves with the amount of power that we actually have inside. Even if we don't feel powerful in the moment. Even if we've gone through all these treacherous, horrendous things. Even if it's been such a long time since we've experienced that thing that we shut down inside of ourselves. It's still there. It still lives inside of you. And it's there. It's available whenever you want to pick it back up. Yes, it's probably going to be challenging. Yes, it's probably going to be a process. Yes. And do you want it? How do you want to show up in your own life? Do you want to step into the leadership role that is meant for you, that only you can fulfill in your life? Only you can. It's not a role for anybody else to fill but you. because it's your life, your vessel, your body, your energy, your experience here in this human life. So what do you do with it? That's the question I come back to time and time again. And wow, has it bolstered my confidence over time. When I sit between two choices, do I do it or do I not do it? Do I choose the easy way or do I choose the more uncomfortable and more freeing way? Do I choose what I've been doing or what I haven't done in a long ass time? Do I choose what feels safe or do I press into a new edge? Ugh, love you so much. I'm gonna end the episode right there. You are so not alone, my love. And if you want to endeavor this on your own, you are absolutely at the will to do so. If you'd like some guidance to help you along this path, those people are out there too. That's what I do in the Wild Within program. This is a big piece of what we do in Sidestepping Social to sink into self in a communal format. And this beautiful 3-day masterclass that's coming. I'm so excited. It's going to be killer. Killer, killer, killer. So good. Okay. Love you all so much. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for joining me here at Sacred Sister Podcast. It is my greatest joy to have this type of platform to just share what's on my heart and to commune with you in a deeper way than I'm able to on social media, on Instagram. Good old Instagram. I also have a YouTube channel that I haven't been as active at, but it's got some killer, killer, killer videos. There's like 90 videos on there between 2017 and 2019. After my mom passed away, it kind of dropped off, but I still am getting tons of follows and views and comments and engagement all the time on that YouTube channel still. So that's just Britlin on YouTube. You can check out all my other pieces on my website, britlinlabuff.com. And I'll see y'all in the next episode. Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode today, beloved. If it resonated with you, we ask you to please share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, life, and growth.
And another way to show your love and support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. And if you hang out on Instagram and your feed is in need of more uplifting and conscious spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode.
Namaste, beloved. Bye.